Welcome to the LA Dreaming Podcast. This is your host, Michelle, from LADreaming.com, your guide to exploring Los Angeles. Welcome to part two of our discussion about the Rose Parade, and we are so excited to have my mom back for this episode, but we also have a family friend, Richard, who we are so excited to get to talk to you about your connection to the Rose Parade. But before we jump in, would you give a little introduction of yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Richard Burrow. I'm a licensed architect in the state of California. And so I like to design and like to draw and do things like that. And so designing floats for the Rose Parade is kind of a fun little outlet for some creativity. I attended Cal Poly Pomona for architecture school and graduated there in the 80s. And that's when I first got involved with the Rose Parade.
When you got involved with the Rose Parade, was it had somebody invited you to get to work on one of the floats? Is that how that all began?
Excellent question. The Cal Poly University's Cal Poly Pomona and their sister university up in San Luis Obispo, they every year they do a Rose Parade float together. And so when I was on campus in Pomona, I saw, announcements and notifications and flyers about something that you can do to get involved with the school. And one of them was get involved in the Rose Parade committee that they have there. So I thought, that sounded like that could be interesting. So I joined their club and helped, do some work on the float and help decorate the float, gluing little seeds or little, whatever on the float. And I found out that that's something I really didn't like doing for very long, got a little meticulous. So that's when I found out that you could enter a design for the float. And I thought, well, that'll be more fun. So that's kind of how I got started with all the Rose Parade stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that you were able to get started with that through school. And it's actually a goal of mine to get to help decorate one of the floats. So that's been something I've wanted to do for quite a while. My mom has done that. She did a little bit of decorating in Downey. So she's had that experience, but I'm still hoping to get that myself.
I was a petal pasting person. They have an opportunity, the petal pasting, the petal sitting, yes, the petal prepping. They have lots of opportunities depending on if you are willing to climb or if you want to sit or if you would rather be prepping and handing the information or the items that are going to be applied to the people that are volunteering to actually be hands-on. But it is very meticulous. You have to be very, very diligent and very willing to do something that is very tedious. It's tedious and monotonous, but boy, when it is completed, it is a thing of beauty. There's nothing like it.
Right. Yeah, it is amazing. And one of the things I just was thinking of, just to kind of chime in, is one of the requirements for the Rose Parade floats is every surface of the float has to be covered with something that at one time was living. So it could be it could be seeds, flowers, dried leaves, fruit, all sorts of things. But at one time it would have to be alive. And then you can't like artificially color things or do artificial things to those materials.
I'm always amazed when the floats go by that someone is driving it because they do such a great job disguising where the driver's located.
Right. Yes, they do.
And I'm sure it's just got to be incredible just to get to see the entire process because I'm so used to getting to see, the amazing final product. But I can only imagine what it's like to get to see it you know, going from paper all the way to reality?
That was one of the things that you kind of mentioned in some of your questions, is what things I enjoyed. And one of them is that process of, you know, having something in your mind, and then you take that, you transfer it to a piece of paper. And then after that, then they take that paper and they make, you know, the 3D float of from that. And it's it really is fun. And it's fun to go visit the float. They call them float barns, where they build them. So it's fun to go visit the float barns and watch them, you know, working on your float and watching that creation coming to life. It's really amazing that they can do it, but they do just a great job of it.
And I'm sure that there has to be an extra level of specialness that you're not, you know, just getting to see a float brought to life. In your case, you're getting to see your own creation brought to life. So I just think that has to be so exciting.
It is. It really is. It really is fun. And then to see it, you know, come down the parade route is really, you know, amazing. And then one of the things that I really enjoy doing is, you know, they take all the floats and they park them at the end. And then they have let people view those, you know, at the end of the parade for the next few days. And that's one of my favorites, is to go watch that and see people kind of admiring the floats and enjoying them and making them happy and taking pictures. And, you know, that's really fun to watch that process and watch people.
That was one of my favorite things as a kid growing up. We used to always go, and that was one of my favorite things, to go and see the view, all the floats up close.
Right. I mean, that's the thing, is you can get up close to them and talk to people, you know, and ask questions, and, you know, they're really helpful and they're really excited about their float, and, you know, they're give you insights into, you know, how things were built, and they turn the animation on and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of, it's fun.
Oh, that sounds amazing. And just another aspect of it that I really hope I get to experience soon. I've been to the parade, and so I've seen it in person, but I haven't gone to see the floats after. And then I haven't got to be part of the process before the parade starts yet either, but all goals that I have, because I think that's just something extra wonderful about living in this area, is just having the possibility and the accessibility to be able to be involved in the parade in one way or another. And just talking about the floats in general, I guess I'm curious how the process starts. Or do you find out the theme for, I'm guessing you would know the theme before you would submit your design proposal, correct?
That's correct. And what they do is they don't want to kind of spoil the parade that's happening. Like right now, the next parade is the 2022 parade. It's always confusing because it's the first day of the new year. So, you know, the next parade is in 2022. The parade for 2023, they've already, you know, you can already start submitting designs for that parade. And what they do is they don't want to spoil the theme or whatever for the current parade. So they don't announce the theme until after the parade. So what they do is they just issue a hint. So they just give you like a hint and tell you what, you know, what the theme is about. And it's pretty darn close to what the theme really is, but it's enough information for you to get started on designs. So that's what I do. I take that and, you know, come up with some ideas. Another thing that I do is I, you know, have some float ideas that I've submitted in the past that haven't won. And, you know, I can kind of repurpose those and kind of, you know, kind of take the concept and kind of tell a different story to fit the theme. So I do that a few times, done that a few times myself too.
Oh, that's great. And I'm sure it's just such a fun, creative process and challenge as well for yourself, just, you know, to figure out what you can come up with.
You know what? It is. It's kind of fun. And one of the things that I do is I kind of try to just keep my eyes open for things that I think would be impactful when when you were to view them on a float. And that's one of the things that I came up with when I did the flamingo float, is I had the, you know, flamingos first off. I thought, well, those would be nice because they're bright pink, so that would be impactful. And then also these, my idea was these flamingos are floating down a little creek on upside down umbrellas. And so I thought umbrellas would be nice because they can be very colorful. And so that's one of the things that I do, is I kind of keep my eyes out for things. And, you know, I got that idea because I was out one day on a rainy day and I saw some people's umbrellas and I thought, oh, those can be very pretty, you know, very colorful. So I kind of stole that idea from some of the stuff that I saw.
Was that 2019? That float?
No, that was a different one.
I just remember seeing the picture of it and it was beautiful.
Thank you. I think that was 2017, I think.
Now, have you won awards, your floats?
Yes, they have. Yeah, I've done 4 floats and 3 of them have won awards.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that is really incredible.
Yeah, so it was fun. And another, you know, you asked me about favorite things. Another favorite thing is on parade day. Actually, let me back up. The week right between Christmas and New Year's is called Decoration Week or Deco Week. And that's the week when there's the big push to put all the flowers on, all the dry material, and just get everything done. And the last couple days before the parade, there's 2 rounds of judging, where these judges, they get in these little caravans of buses and cars, and they travel around to the different float sites where people are building the floats. And they, you know, they get out, they look at the floats, which is really kind of fun. It's real formal, where everybody's supposed to be real quiet. And they start at a certain time, and the judges are timed where they can only be there for a certain amount of time. And then they ring a bell when they're done, and then everybody can applaud and everything after that. But it's kind of a fun experience to, you know, to watch that process of the judging. And then the culmination of that is 6 o'clock in the morning on parade day, where they make the announcement for all the floats that have won. And they do that at the tournament house. And the tournament house is the mansion that is on, that's not on Colorado. I can't remember the other street, but that's where the headquarters is for the Tournament of Roses. And so at 6 o'clock in the morning, the front doors open up. There's some trumpeters that come out and they kind of sound a little, you know, a little fanfare. And then the judges come out and then they announce all the winners of all the awards. And there's a bunch of the builders are all gathered around there, and people start cheering and making phone calls to the rest of their team and stuff like that. And that's really fun.
Oh, that sounds like such a special way to get to kick off the new year, and especially get to kick off such a iconic event.
Yeah, it's really fun.
And I guess another question that I have, so when you're submitting the designs, are you submitting them to a specific organization that might have a float that year? Or are you just submitting it in general and then the companies and organizations can then look at designs and pick which ones they might want?
Very good question. Yeah, they're actually the different associations have different requirements and different rules, and you submit to a particular association. So I submit to to Burbank, and then I submit things to Sierra Madre. And all of these are self-built floats associations. There's basically two categories. There's self-built, which are, you know, local cities like Downey, and they're a, you know, group of volunteers. And then the other category is professional floats. The professional floats, I don't submit anything to those people because they don't have contests. They just have internal designers, or, you know, they hire a company like Fiesta Floats is one of the big companies. They hire Fiesta Floats, and then Fiesta Floats does their design, does their construction, does all that. So I just submit only to self-built organizations with which there's, I think there's five or six. You know, one of them is Burbank, Sierra Madre, Cal Poly Universities, La Cañada, Flint Ridge, Downey, and South Pasadena. Those are, I think that's the group of those. So I submit to those, and each one has their own requirements and their own deadlines and their own selection. And so that's how that's done.
Awesome. Well, this is so cool to get to hear the behind the scenes stuff. And I'm learning a lot so far. So this is really wonderful.
And another thing, just real fast, is these design competitions, they're open to anybody. So it's really a good opportunity for, you know, anybody that has an idea, you know, and because it's a fun process, and it's, you know, it's nice and creative, and, you know, it's an opportunity for somebody that likes to do that kind of thing to maybe get, you know, a float selected and see it on TV, you know. That's,
oh, yes, fun. This is, I think, it's such a big and well-known event that it would just be so amazing to get to see a creation in a parade like this, a parade that is known worldwide.
Right. And another thing, just real fast, is the, there's one association, there might be others, but there's one association I know of is La Cañada Flint Ridge, and they only accept a verbal statement, so that you just have to go on their website and you write down your idea just in words. And so that's really good for people that don't think they're artistic, or, you know, don't want to take the time to draw something, then they can just type out their idea. And if it's a, you know, if it's an interesting, good idea, then, you know, could get selected.
Well, that's awesome. That gives everybody an opportunity.
Right.
I know it takes a lot of people to pull off the Rose Parade and all those floats. Each year, more than 80,000 hours are put into the floats, and close to 1,000 volunteers to make it all go from paper to be able to go down the parade route as a completed product.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's incredible, because it takes so many people just to bring it to life, and so much time. And I guess my next question for you is, are you monthly, meeting with the people that help put it all together? Or like, what's your involvement after your design is selected?
So this is the process, and I'm going to just sneak one other thing in before it gets selected. It's I've learned now that they have, at least Burbank and Sierra Madre, they have a little a meeting where they do the selection. So I've become members of both of those associations. So actually I can vote. So I can vote on my own float design, which is kind of fun. So I go to those meetings, and you can see all the different designs that they've received. Actually, what they do is they'll get like maybe 50, 60 designs, and then they whittle those down into ones that they think are the best, you know, maybe 10 of them, 5 or 10 of them or something like that. Then they display those, and then the membership gets to vote on which one they think are the best designs. So anyway, I just thought I could throw that in, because that's another kind of a fun element of that, the process. So then if my design were to get selected, then the next thing that happens is I can do nothing. If I don't want to do anything else, I don't have to do anything else. My design is selected. They'll figure out how to build it, and then I can just watch it on parade day. So that's one option, but I have never done that. I mean, the other thing is you can do is you can get involved kind of as much as you want. And so what I do is they do have either like every week or every other week, at the very beginning, they'll have design meetings where they go through and they'll just show your design to kind of a committee. This is actually how Burbank does it. Different associations do it differently, but Burbank, they show that to whoever wants to show up and then give their ideas of what that design could be, you know, modified or add or subtract this or do whatever. So they get to, you know, give their input. Then after that, I would go to subsequent like design development meetings where they'll take that to design and then they'll start to kind of modify it. Say, hey, you know, we'd really like to add a rabbit back here, or we'd like to get rid of, you know, this flower that's here or whatever. And I'll do little, you know, design drawings of any kind of changes that they want to do. And so that's kind of that process. Then after that, then they start into construction. During this construction, I could help weld and build things, but I'm not really very good at that. I've done a few things, but not that many. And then after that, then the project is ready for deco week. And so during that week, I'll go help, you know, decorate the floats. And then after that, the float is ready to go down Colorado Boulevard.
And normally on parade day, are you at a specific spot to get to watch everything, or does it just kind of vary year to year?
Actually, what happens is for Burbank and Sierra Madre, those are the two that I've won design competitions for. Both of those, they give you grandstand tickets as your prize. And so there is, you know, right at the beginning of the parade are where these seats are. And so that's where I go and I'll watch the parade. Now, on years that I don't win, I have gone to the parade before. A couple times I've gotten a photographer's pass from Burbank. And so me and this other guy, we have these photographer passes. And so we kind of run around, take pictures and things like that, which is that's actually kind of more fun than sitting in the stands, because you get to run around and kind of go up scaffolds and watch the parade from up above. And we've actually kind of walked down the street.
I'm sure that would be incredible.
It's kind of fun. We've gotten in trouble, you know, and got thrown out and all sorts of stuff. It's fun.
And do you ever have to pull the card? Do you know who I am? That's my float right there.
You know what? They don't care.
Well, that's true. They probably don't. I remember in 2019, I was there with my father-in-law and we were in the grandstands and you were texting us and you were in the area, the staging area where they were lining, getting ready for the parade and kind of lining up. And right. I'm sure that was very exciting. Can you tell us just a little bit about that process when they're trying to, the staging areas where they're trying to get everyone lined up or ready?
Yeah, actually, that's another really fun thing to do is, you know, if you're ever going to the parade, if you get there early, which is like 6 o'clock in the morning, then they have all of the floats lined up around the corner and you can just go walk by them. And you can, you know, look at them up close and you can talk to people, and there's usually TV crews out there. Yeah, so that's really fun to do, because then you can see all the floats, and then all the floats are lined up on the main street, and then on the side streets they have you know, like the bands and different equestrian units and things like that are lined up on the side streets, and they just kind of weave them in, you know, in between the floats as they're supposed to, you know, as they're kind of the order they're supposed to be in.
That's cool. I wondered how they sort of orchestrated that, because you couldn't, if you had them all lined up, it would just be so long if you had them all in one long line. So I think that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, so they do all the little side streets. And it's Orange Grove Boulevard. That's where the Tournament of Roses house is.
That's what I thought. And I thought it started on Orange Grove, and then you turn the big turn onto Colorado Boulevard.
Right. Yep.
And have you got to meet any special people through your connections with the parade over the years?
No. Yeah, actually, I have. Another thing that's kind of fun is they have in, I think it's like October timeframe, September, October, they have a photo day at the tournament house, and they invite all the float builders and designers to the tournament house, and they take photos of your group with the queen and her court for the parade. And so that's kind of fun. I've done that a few times. You know, you get to meet the queen, the Rose Parade queen and her court. That's kind of fun. And then they offer tours of the tournament house. So you can go through there and you see where the girls and get ready for the parade, and you see all the different rooms and meeting rooms, and it's really kind of fun. And they have a little breakfast that they serve.
Oh, I love that they have, you know, little events like that before the parade, and quite a bit before the parade, because I like that that's separate from, I know it just gets crazy the closer that it gets to parade time. So I like that that's in the calm before the storm, it sounds like.
Yes.
And over the years, is there a particular favorite float that you have had?
You know, that's like asking if you have a favorite child.
Yeah, I can imagine it's a very hard question.
You know what? Actually, I like kind of some different elements of different floats. Like I had this one float, the one with the flamingos riding on the umbrellas, and that I thought was really nice because they did some really large animation, and so the whole flamingo and the umbrellas twirling around on one of them, another one that's rocking back and forth, and so that was really, I really liked that a lot. Another float was the one with the tea set, where the mice are taking over like the tea set, and there's a stack of cups in the back. I think there's like four or five teacups stacked up. And those are, the top one is spinning around, and there's a mouse that's holding on to the top one, and he's spinning around like he's, you know, holding on for dear life. And then the whole stack of cups is kind of leaning back and forth, kind of like it's teetering and going to fall over. That was.
Oh yeah. That one came to mind for me. Cause I remember my grandpa having like a printout of that float. Right. And so it was up in his office at the house, and I would see it all the time. So that, I always think of you, of course, since it's your float whenever I see that.
Yeah, that one was really fun. I remember that was for Sierra Madre, and they sent me a little video clip when they got the cups animated. You know, of course, it's before they were decorated, so they're just, you know, metal and wire, but you can make out that they were cups, and they took a little video of it actually moving. And I remember I just watched that thing probably like 15, 20 times, because it was just so exciting, you know, because I kind of had this in mind what it could look like. And then they did a better job than I even imagined of that happening. It was like really, it's really amazing what they can do.
Oh, that's so fun. It almost sounds like Christmas morning, just in the sense of like the excitement and the anticipation of just getting to have the final product.
Yeah. Yep. It is. It's very, very fun.
And before you got involved in the Rose Parade in college, was it, had you grown up going to the parade or watching the parade, or was college kind of your first introduction to it all?
You know, I had, you know, my mom liked watching the parade. So as a kid, we'd watch the parade. And then, you know, when I was in college, we'd, you know, I went to the parade a few times. And I kind of remember staying up all night, you know, because you're just hanging out on the sidewalks. And I remember thinking that was a lot of fun. And then actually the parade was kind of a letdown after all the fun all night.
It is a really fun atmosphere when you camp out. My family used to do that as well. And it is very fun. And it's just, right. It is excitement all night long.
Well, yeah, and I can imagine, too, at a certain point, you're like, okay, I've stayed up all night. Now it's time to go to bed. So the parade needs to be over.
That's true.
See, I've only had the grandstand experience. So I have not camped out all night. So I might, one of these years, I might have to have that experience as well.
Yeah, you might want to do that before you get too old, because it gets less fun.
Well, this has been so awesome to get to hear about your experience with the Rose Parade. Is there anything else you can think of that you'd like to mention?
I think just one of the things that we've already talked about, but I'd like to reiterate, is, you know, the design competition is open to anybody. So it's just a really great opportunity for, you know, someone to submit a design and see that on New Year's Day. Just really fun.
Well, I'm really thankful that you shared that. I think you said it was for Law Kanata Flint Ridge, that you can just write down the description of the idea, because I do feel like I am very creative, but I'm just not the best at drawing.
Right.
So I think for me, it would be better for me to articulate the idea and
go.
Then let it be in somebody else's hands after that.
Right. Exactly. Yep. In fact, I've done that too, is I've had a couple ideas that I just didn't have time to draw anything. So I submit them to Sierra, to La Kenyatta Flint Ridge, but never have had any luck with them. But
do you have any idea by chance, like how many submissions get sent in on average?
La Kenyatta Flint Ridge, I have no idea. I know for Burbank and for Sierra Madre, because I've, you know, been there for some of their design selections, and, you know, they'll get like 60, you know, 50, 60, 70, kind of depends on the theme sometimes, because if people can kind of connect to the theme or not, or if it's too vague of a theme and they can't figure it out, kind of dictates how many entries they get. But I'm always kind of amazed. I would think that they would get, you know, hundreds or maybe thousands of submissions, you know, but they don't. You know, they get like 50, 60, 70, something like that.
Yeah, I was surprised, because I remembered that earlier in the conversation you had said, I think around 50 for one of them. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh, well, surely that's like what it first got narrowed down to and then narrowed down again. But that's pretty incredible that it's a lower number than what you would think, because I think that should give a lot of people inspiration and hope that their design could make it through.
Right. So I think just people don't, you know, just don't realize it and aren't aware of it, and just, you know, probably think that they get thousands of them, so it's like, why bother, maybe, but they don't. In fact, I was just going to say real fast, I mean, the first year that my float won for Burbank, I submitted several different ideas to them. I think I submitted like six ideas, and my float came in first, and then I had another idea that came in third.
Oh, that's incredible. That is really, really cool.
Do you have an idea of how much a float costs?
Yeah, I think there can be, like, I think the self-built ones, because they don't have the, you know, they don't pay any labor costs. I think they can be somewhere around, you know, $70,000, $80,000. Of course, labor is the big factor. And so the ones that are commercial, they can be, you know, $500,000 on up to produce some of those. Amazing. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
That's amazing. Some of the most beautiful ones are the simple, or not the simple, but the ones from mm-hmm. Burbank and Downey, and some of the ones that are more localized. Yeah. Those those are my favorite floats.
Yeah, I think they, you know, you get people that are just really personally involved in it, and so they put a lot of love into them.
You can tell, absolutely.
You really can see just the passion and I think really just the pride that Southern California in general just has with this parade and the fact that, you know, we get to have it in our backyard. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping you might be able to share which city or which float is yours this year?
You know, actually, I don't have a design in for 2022, but Sierra Madre, the designer that designed their float, he was not able to produce their final color rendering that they use. And the final color rendering is the one that's used for the official parade program. And then they also use it for merchandising and t-shirts and postcards. So I did that color rendering for them for Sierra Madre. So I think I sent that to you, but it's two birds, and it's like a jungle theme.
Great. Well, this has been such a joy to get to talk about this with you, and we are just so lucky and proud to get to know you, and I just thank you so much for being so generous with your time.
Oh, sure. And thank you. And, you know, if you have any follow-up questions or whatever, give me a holler.
Absolutely. And we will definitely touch base about going to see a float.
Thank you, Richard.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the LA Dreaming Podcast. I hope this has inspired you to consider designing your own Rose Parade float. And I hope you'll consider following me on Instagram at la.dreaming to keep up with all of my adventures. Wishing you a very happy New Year's.